the story of the Transfiguration according to the Gospel of Matthew. 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brought them to the top of a very high mountain. He was transformed in front of them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with Jesus. Peter reacted to all of this by saying to Jesus, "Lord, it's good that we're here. If you want, I'll make three shrines, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them. A voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I dearly love. I am very pleased with him. Listen to him." Hearing this, the disciples fell on their faces, filled with awe. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Don't tell anyone about the vision until the human one is raised from the dead." When they came to the crowd, a man met Jesus. He knelt before him, saying, "Lord, show mercy to my son. He is epileptic and suffers terribly, for he often falls into the fire or the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't heal him." Jesus answered, "You faithless and crooked generation, how long will I be with you? How long will I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me." Then Jesus spoke harshly to the demon, and it came out of the child, who was healed from that time on. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and said, "Why couldn't we throw the demon out?" "Because you have little faith," he said. "I assure you that if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, 'Go from here to there,' and it will go. There will be nothing you can't do." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Moses and Jesus on mountaintops, their faces shining. Moses was on Mount Sinai with God, and he came down with the Ten Commandments and the guidance for God's people in their life with God and their relationships with each other. His face was shining. He didn't know it, but the people could see the glory of the encounter with God on the face of Moses. In communion with God, Moses was changed. Jesus went up Mount Tabor with his inner cabinet, Peter, James, and John. Jesus went to pray, and as he was praying, Moses and Elijah show up, the heroes of faith, the symbols of the best of the law and the best of the prophets, show up with Jesus. The salvation history of God's people is right there on the mountaintop, and Jesus is transfigured. He is changed. His clothes become white, his face shining. In communion with God, Jesus is changed. It's Transfiguration Sunday in the liturgical calendar, the way the church marks the church year. It's the end of Epiphany, and on Wednesday, we move into the season of Lent. After weeks of glimpses of a star, a dove, a baptism, and another voice from a cloud, this morning we see the full brightness and glory of Jesus on the mountain. And from this vista, we can see the journey of Lent, the journey to the cross. Transfiguration, as we've already heard, means change. Neither Moses nor Jesus changed themselves, rather their encounter with God changed them. It's like the light that was inside of them came out. It's deep mystery we're into here. The revelation of the glory of God in the face of Moses and in the face of Jesus. Encounters with the holiness of God. There's wisdom into just living into that mystery. We can't, and we shouldn't try, to explain away the mystery that God wants to reveal to us, not in the transfiguration of Jesus, nor in the mystery of broken bread and cup poured out, or the water of baptism, or a dream you have that reveals a way for you, or the sound of a baby's laugh, or the wisdom in the eyes of an elder. Sometimes we just need to feel the beauty of the mystery of God. These stories are like a piece of music that takes your breath away. You can't explain it, you just feel enveloped by the wonder. Time with God changes us. You can tell when people are close to God. Maybe not bright, shiny faces, but there is a warmth and a glow and a countenance that knows the presence of God. We've all recognized it in some people, and we're actually drawn to those people who have a depth or a joy or a charisma that comes from their relationship with God. Moses and Jesus have been with God, and it shows. When you've really been with God, in prayer or meditation or reading the Bible or in service to others, it shows. It shows in the way we treat people, in the way we set our priorities, in the things that satisfy us. People who encounter God and are transformed see the world differently, see our neighbors differently. Maybe they get a glimpse of how God sees the world. Spending time with God changes us for good. This might be a bit of a sidebar, friends, but one of the things that I wonder about these texts is that the holiness, the experience of being close to God, happens on a mountain. So I grew up in Saskatchewan, so that's just weird right from the start. We use that metaphor to talk about religious experiences, right, of mountaintop experiences. And to be honest, I don't think it's the average person's religious experience. What do you think? When you reflect on your journey of faith, is it all mountaintop experiences? Maybe that's true for Mennonites, not for Presbyterians, I can tell you. Maybe you've had a few deeply, spiritually life-changing times. And the stories today certainly show us two religious superstars on mountains who are having close encounters of the spiritual kind. But most of the stories in the Bible aren't on mountaintops. Most are about encounters with God in the everyday lives of God's people. The discernment of God's presence and glory, the growth of our spiritual life, is in the everyday stuff of life, right? I think it's less those dramatic moments and more the ordinary ones, your work, at school, your friends, your life with your friends, your life in your family, the joys and sorrows of life is where we experience God most of the time. It doesn't minimize these stories of incredible encounters that do happen. So fantastic, right? That Peter wants to capture the moment, set up shrines, and nobody leaves, and we're all going to stay here because it's so great. But Jesus came down the mountain, and Moses came down the mountain. Moses came down the mountain with the law to lead the people. He had a vision of what God saw for God's people. He had a covenant to lead God's people into promise and a way to be with them all the time, right? While he's up there, he gets directions about the Ark of the Covenant and the tabernacle, how God will be present with God's people all the time, every day, every step of the way. And after time with God, Jesus descends the mountain and was met by a family in need of healing. Jesus came down the mountain and healed the boy. There's a response from us when we're in the presence of God. Your order of worship actually couldn't be more direct. Gathering, receiving, responding, sending. God actually calls for a response for us. Out of the cloud of the holiness and the awesomeness of the mountaintop, God says, "This is my son, the one I love. Listen to him." Right? Don't just stand there and watch the glory. Listen to what Jesus says in his words, in his life, in his death and resurrection. Jesus goes down the mountain, and right away he's into the muck of life. Here is Jesus in the glory of divinity and in the agony of human suffering, right? Holiness and healing, ecstasy, epilepsy, fully divine, fully human. And we recognize this too, right? The mountaintop experiences of our lives that quickly have the punch in the gut of the reality of life and the pain that can come. We know the rhythm. You think everything's going great, and there's a call from the doctor about results. We celebrate Family Day, and we grieve for the families in Tumbler Ridge. Jesus encounters the boy, and he doesn't say, "Look, I've had this great spiritual experience, don't bring me down." The transfigured Christ enters into the suffering of life. He turns his face from the light of God's glory on the mountain of prayer to the light of God's glory in the face of a little boy. It's the same Jesus on the mountain and in the valley. And it is the same call in Christian life. As followers of Jesus, we know that swing of divinity, the divine, and the ordinary. Our faces turn toward God in prayer and worship, and our faces turn toward the people of God who we are called to serve. Faith isn't about going up a mountain and staying there. Christian faith is about the mountain and the valley and living in the middle, trusting in God's holiness in all of it. Heidi Newmark served Transfiguration Lutheran Church during the height of the crack cocaine epidemic in New York City, aptly named the Transfiguration Church. The community was struggling, barely surviving when she arrived. Standing amid poverty and the myriad of problems that bedevil communities, crime, drugs, guns, lack of hope, the church kept its doors shut and locked. She told the story of the Transfiguration a lot, about Jesus coming down off the mountain, rebuking the unclean spirits, and healing the boy. The church eventually unlocked its doors, turned its face outside in the neighborhood, and they did meet distress and disease and despair. But they also discovered Transfiguration as a congregation in connection with others. Likely their life as a congregation shone, bearing the light of Christ to the world. This great leader, Heidi Newmark, writes, "Living high up in the rarefied air isn't the point of Transfiguration. It was never meant as a private experience of spirituality removed from the public square. The Transfiguration was a vision to carry us down, a glimpse of unimagined possibility at ground level." Isn't that beautiful? Friends, the story of the Transfiguration marks a liturgical pivot between Epiphany and Lent. Jesus' face changed on the mountain in the glory and holiness of God, and he came down and he turned his face toward Jerusalem. He turned his face toward the purpose of God's plan for salvation. He turned his face toward the cross. This morning, we encounter God in the transforming power of the gospel in Scripture, the worship of a community in prayer and in song, and in the reflection of our shared vocation as followers of Jesus. From this precious encounter with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we leave. Or we stay in a meeting, and then we leave. Both to bear the light of Christ to the world God loves. I speak to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.